from the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, 7,107 islands, I think it is, Manila in the Philippines. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. It is my honor, indeed my privilege, to be escorting you through the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And an interesting weekend it's going to be. As a matter of fact, in the next hour, we're going to be speaking with Simeon Hine, who is a crop circle expert, and I guess he got his expertise together with Scott Flansburgh. We've interviewed Scott before. Scott is the human calculator, and I guess there's a numerical value to crop circles, and we put that together with the human calculator, and I think they came up with some extremely interesting, confusing results. But I wanted to begin the program right now with something a little bit different, and I tried to do this last week, and it didn't work out because I didn't have my wife's microphone open. But if you'll go to the coasttocoastam.com website right now, on the front page, there is a photograph of a creature. Now, it's a creature here in the Philippines. I have no idea what this particular photograph is of, but it is damn well big. It really is big. Whatever this is gigantic. I mean, if you compare it to the homes, the huts there, and the trees, and you realize the distance at which we're seeing this object as compared to those objects, it's obvious this thing is monstrous. I have no idea what it is. But here's what I do know. About, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I guess, my wife and I were talking. We had a long talk, sat in the living room and had a long talk, and we were talking about myths and things, and she started telling me about this creature called an aswang. Aswang, I think that's it. Is that correct?
Yes, aswang.
Aswang. Okay, that's my wife. That's Irene. I call her Erin, but her real name is Irene. It's A-I-R-Y-N now. This thing, I said, no. Come on, it's a myth. It's not real. And you said what?
I said it's true, because I do believe in that.
You do believe in it?
Yes. I haven't seen, but I believe.
You haven't seen, but you believe. But you did have an experience with it, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, now this experience had something to do with a neighbor of yours. You come from a province on Mindanao, right?
Yeah, but that was happened in Cagayan. That's not a province. It is a city.
But still in Mindanao.
Yeah, but still in Mindanao.
Okay. So this was a next-door neighbor of yours?
Yeah, an old lady.
An old lady.
Yeah.
Aswang, I've read now, many times are old ladies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. All right, so what happened is somehow the water, you were sharing water with this old lady, and then,
yes,
then you had to cut off the water for some reason?
Because our water bill is already big, so I don't know. My sister said maybe they only put waste water, so they cut off the water and pull out the hose.
The hose?
Yeah, the hose.
All right, so she got angry then, and you knew her to be an aswang? Did you know that?
Yeah.
You knew she was aswang?
Yeah, all of us know.
All right, so then a human can turn into an aswang at night, is that right?
Yes.
And then it's half human and half
Half human, half aswang, but they have a big wings, so we can really hear her wings.
So after you cut off the water, she would appear every night over your home and beat her wings on your roof?
Yeah, starting from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m.
10 at night to 2 in the morning. For how long?
Yeah. A month.
A month. So that just scared the heck out of you.
All of us.
All of you, huh? All right, so that's aswang. And aswang is said to... Also, you mentioned something to me about aswang goes after...
Babies.
Now, that means even babies still in the womb.
Yes.
Really? And it eats them?
I don't know. They sip their blood. I don't know. Because I don't know.
Does something with the babies anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is aswang, I guess. Now, the picture we have here was sent to me by somebody here in the Philippines. I don't know who sent it. It was anonymous. But it's not pixelized. It's not faked. It's real. Whatever the hell it is, it's real. And you say the aswang normally would not come out during the day. Is that right?
Yeah. Normally, they did not come out by daytime, at night.
Only at night?
Yeah.
Well, this is something out during the daytime. There's no question about that. All right. Well, thanks. You didn't want to talk on the air, did you?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for talking on the air, hon. Thank you very much. That is Irene. All right. So there's Aswang. If you want to take a look at this photograph that we have, even though it's out during the day, which it, I guess, according to legend, should not be, whatever it is really big. I mean, obviously, as compared to the homes there and the foliage, you can kind of see at what distance it is in relation to those things. This thing is monstrous. I have no idea what it is. In a moment, we will come back and look at the state of the world, never good.
This hour of Coast to Coast AM is brought to you by Denny's. If you're out late and want real food, forget the drive-thru. Swing by Denny's for their new Extreme Grand Slam.
For those of you looking for the picture of the Aswang on my webcam, no, it's not there. Look on the front page. I had it there. I had blown up a... In fact, the picture they've got on the coasttocoastam.com website is pretty good. And if you rob the picture and then blow it up in some sort of thing, it does blow up fairly well. And you can get a pretty good look at that thing. It's a monster. Residents of Bermuda installed storm shutters, hauled their yachts onto beaches. Poor people in Bermuda, huh? Their yachts onto beaches and prepared for tropical storm Florence, which intensified on Saturday, was expected to become a hurricane as it approaches the North Atlantic island. Florence, which could become a hurricane as it moves in over the open Atlantic on Sunday, was expected to reach the tiny British territory on Monday, according to the National Hurricane Center in Miami, but too early to tell whether it'll make a direct hit. Space Shuttle Atlantis thundered into orbit Saturday with no obvious damage from debris to worry NASA or the six-member crew as they prepared to resume construction, finally, of the International Space Station for the first time since the 2003 Columbia disaster. After 2 weeks of delays due to storms and technical trouble, Atlantis rose from its seaside pad through a partly cloudy sky at 11:15 a.m. Eastern. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin described the launch as majestic. I'm sure they're running out of words. A former fugitive suspected of fatally shooting a state trooper and wounding two others made his first court appearance Saturday, just one day after surrendering in a field over the Pennsylvania state line following a five-month manhunt. Ralph Bucky Phillips, who once threatened to splatter pig meat all over Chautauqua County in upstate New York, was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, was charged with 8 counts, including attempted aggravated murder, first-degree attempted murder, second-degree attempted murder, all in connection with the shooting of a state trooper in June. Very few people turned out Saturday for a rally demanding amnesty for 11 million illegal immigrants. Not popular right now, the latest sign of a pro-immigrant group struggles to regain momentum after hundreds of thousands marched for the cause in the spring. First General Motors, then gun control, followed by George W. Bush, now rabble-rousing filmmaker Michael Moore has turned his irreverent camera on healthcare in America. Sicko! Sicko, Moore's dissection of the healthcare system promises to be another hilarious documentary romp. How you do that with healthcare, I don't know, but I guess he'll give it a try. It will be shown at the Toronto International Film Festival. Now, here's one. You gotta wonder. You really gotta wonder. New York woman wins $1 million in the lottery. Again. A woman who won $1 million, I want to a friend of Ed Dames, who won $1 million from a state lottery game 4 years ago, has, against all probabilities, hit the jackpot again. Valerie Wilson, who works at a Long Island deli, said she won another $1 million on a lottery scratch-off game last month. Now, how does that happen? I have no idea. We're going to be going to open lines pretty quickly here. Remember we had a talk last week about genetically engineered stuff, actually crops, rice in the case of last week. Well, now grass that was genetically engineered for golf courses is growing in the wild now, posing one of the very first threats of agricultural biotechnology escaping the farm in the U.S., a new study says. Creeping bentgrass, as it's called, was engineered to resist the popular herbicide Roundup. In other words, Roundup will not round it up at all to allow more efficient weed control on golf courses, but the modified grass could spread that resistance to the wild, becoming a nuisance itself. According to scientists, it's not a killer tomato, not the asparagus at A. Cleveland, but it is serious. Elstrand noted the engineered bent grass has the potential to affect more than a dozen other plant species, which could also acquire resistance to Roundup grade. Such resistance could force land managers and government agencies like the U.S. Forest Service, which relies heavily on Roundup, to switch to nastier herbicides to control the grasses and weeds. This is a definite oops. The bentgrass variety is being developed by Scotts Miracle-Gro Company in cooperation with Roundup's manufacturer, Monsanto. Companies say they're on it, though. Spokesmen for both the companies said they've been expecting the results of the study published in the Journal of Molecular Energy. We've been working to mitigate it, they say. We're down maybe to a couple of dozen plants now. King said the seed from a test plot somehow escaped several years ago while it was drying following harvest in Oregon's Willamette Valley, home to most of the U.S. grass seed industry and the world's largest producer of commercial grass varieties. So it escaped. The main question now, King says, is whether the government will allow commercial use of the experimental bentgrass for golf courses. Well, I would think maybe not. Eradicating it has not been a difficult issue, he said. The only difference between the turf seed we're working to produce and naturally occurring varieties is it has a gene resistant to this specific herbicide, Roundup. Well, I've heard a lot of jokes about Roundup, and it's pretty tough stuff. So this is resistant to that, and it's a definite oops. I got this email, and I thought I would share it with you. I don't know, I just liked it. Dear Art, it's been a long time since I heard your broadcast. In 94, I was introduced to your broadcast while working as a computer mapping engineer at a Kansas City, Missouri company. We worked late night, stared at computer screens, but your voice kept us on track. Sometimes it was the one thing we looked forward to when heading back to work. Now, I'm serving on active duty here in Afghanistan. I am an AH-64A pilot, an aviation safety officer. Unfortunately, we don't receive your broadcast over here, Afghanistan, but it was nice to see you're still on the internet and on radio. We recently lost one of our brothers in arms. It was tragic, but we are warriors, and we'll pull through. Let all your listeners know, if you would, that we have high morale. We all believe in the cause of freedom and justice. We're pushed to the limit at times, but we don't give up. That's the cost of security, and I, for one, am happy to pay that cost. By the way, I like your site's last paragraph about being in the cockpit late at night. I've been in that cockpit in the middle of the Hindu Kush Mountains on a night so dark you couldn't see anything if your night vision device should fail. It's a weird feeling, but gets your heart pumping for sure. Take care, and thanks for being the voice in the night. That's Mel, CW3 Mel, F Troop 2-10AVN, Task Force Nighthawk. So there you go. I've got an awful lot of additional news, but there is one other thing that I want to squeeze in. Humans, according to paleontologists, now listen very carefully to this, please. Humans have tried to colonize Britain on at least 8 separate occasions in the past 700,000 years. On each occasion, but the last, the populations were wiped out when an ice age arrived. British people today, our new arrivals, were products of only the last 12,000 years, said Chris Stringer, head of human origins at the Natural History Museum. The findings, which mean that modern native Britons are descended from a continuous line younger than their counterparts in the Americas and Australia, are part of a 5-year ancient human occupation of Britain project, which concluded this month, evidence from burial sites shows that modern humans, Homo sapiens as it were, arrived in Britain about 30,000 years ago. But Professor Stringer's project showed that other species of humans made the journey from Africa via Europe sometime earlier. A recent fossil discovery in Pickfield, Suffolk, was identified as a species called Homo antecessor, or nicknamed Pioneer Man, dated at 700,000 years old. That'll push back the first evidence of humans by 200,000 years. Pioneer Man was known to have lived in southern Europe 800,000 years ago and probably made the journey to Britain via a connecting land bridge. It looks like there were 8 separate colonization attempts that we can record, and 7 of those were unsuccessful, said Professor Stringer, speaking yesterday at the British Association Festival of Science in Norwich. Britain was repopulated over and over again. This is a very young, contiguous occupation we're seeing here. Each unsuccessful population died out or was forced to retreat due to an adverse change in climate. In other words, ice age after ice age after ice age struck Britain and forced those humans who lived there off the island. And so that is, of course, what Whitley and I were talking about when we talked about the possible climate change, which would affect Europe and most particularly Great Britain. So I just thought I'd point that out. Interesting discovery. They now have found that on several, actually 7 separate occasions. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's jump to the first-time caller line and say, hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I've never called your show before. I've never even heard it. I had an experience last week, and somebody said, oh, you saw a shadow person. And I said, what the heck is that? So I looked it up on the Internet, and I saw your name all over the place as this is kind of the originator of where the term shadow person came from. And this just kind of evolved where a friend of mine was looking on the Internet, got your phone number, and so I'm calling. So I don't know.
All right. Well, actually, I'm not the originator of the term. I think it frankly goes way back and has been used before. I may be the modern originator of that term, but it's been around before. What did you see and what?
My brother and I, we go for long walks, and we'll generally go at night. We're night people. He lives next door to me. He's 2 years older than I am. I'm a retired police officer, so I've got a measure of credibility. I've been deemed to be dependable. My brother and I left our house at about 8:15, and we walked up the street. We like to go far, so we'll sometimes hop on a bus or a train, and we'll go somewhere, and then we'll just get off and start walking back.
Sure.
So we're walking up the street, and we're headed towards the a bus stop, and we see a guy sitting there. So we both thought, oh, cool, there's somebody there, so maybe they know what time the bus is coming. And it's usually a good sign when you see somebody because that means the bus didn't just leave. So then, and I'm also thinking, well, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive, but there's a lot of people who are kind of problematic riding buses. I'm thinking, I hope this guy's not nuts, and I don't want to sit next to him on this bench, so I'm going to go sit on that wall. And the next minute, he's gone.
All right. Here's the first question for you. Were you able to see this person in your head-on vision or just in your peripheral?
Directly head-on, both of us. Me and my brother were directly head-on, and we approached him for a good 10, 15 seconds. And I said, where'd that guy go? And my brother said, so you saw it too, right?
Did you at any point take your eyes off him?
Did
he suddenly run away?
Yeah, I did, and when I looked back, he was gone, but my brother was staring at him, and my brother said he was kind of like doubled over like he was, my brother said he looked like he was rolling a joint, and so my brother said he just kind of like fell forward and melted into the ground.
Oh, brother. Yeah, that fits the, except for the fact that you both saw him, A, which is quite a surprise, and B, you saw him straight on.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, that certainly fits the description of what we've been talking about in the past couple of weeks.
Really? And just So tonight we went to this car show downtown, and a friend of ours is a sergeant on this local department, and he was working the car show. So we talked to him for a bit, and we told him about it, and he said, you know, when I work graveyard, he said, a lot of times I've seen somebody, and I turn around really quick or shine the spotlight on it, and they're gone. And I got to thinking back, you know, yeah, when I worked graveyard, I mean, I didn't give it really all that much thought. It's not like, ooh, that was weird. Did you see what just happened? You know, it was just kind of, I could have swore I saw somebody. And he said, yeah, and they had no avenue of escape. You know, I don't know where the heck they went, but they're gone.
Just and gone.
So, I mean,
all right, listen, dear, I've got to scoot because we're here at a break point. But thank you so very much. That is exactly what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Things that are there, and then things that just simply melt away, kind of like they went into some other dimension. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell.
Talk to Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5 and dialing toll-free 1-800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, from Manila, Philippines, here is Art Bell.
Robert from Port Orchard, Washington, says, hey, Art, can you see these fast blasts, or am I wasting my time while you're on the air? Well, Robert, I shouldn't have to answer that now, should I? Actually, I have an amazing setup here. Not only do I have the fast blast in front of me, but that's in front of me. And to my right, I have another computer screen, which contains all of the telephone lines. And actually, I'm able to see, for example, that Deborah from Missouri is waiting, along with Michael in Maryland, Bob in California, Stryker in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Doc in Indiana, Nina in British Columbia, Canada, John in Illinois, and Matt in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I'm able to see all that and more. It is an amazing. Then I can push a button and answer one of those phone lines and or disconnect it from here. In other words, I have complete control. Even though I'm on the other side of the world from the majority of you, I have complete control over what I'm doing. Now, that kind of tells you the state of the world we're in right now, where you can go to Southeast Asia, literally as close as you can get to the virtual other side of the world, and still do a radio show of this kind and be in complete control. It's absolutely nothing short of amazing. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, top of the hour, Simeon Hine, a crop circle researcher, has taken the time and trouble, I guess, to convert the images of crop circles into some sort of numerical values. Now, I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, perhaps making some suppositions I ought not be making, but I believe that's what he's done. And then he got together with Scott Flansburgh. You've heard Scott here before. I think he is a savant. He is certainly an unusual character, the human calculator. He can do things that normal human beings cannot do with mathematics. And they got together, and you're going to hear the results of that. I understand it was somewhat confusing, but we'll be exploring that at the top of the hour and then spending the remainder of the time, I think, with Scott Flansburgh. In the meantime, off we go to, I guess, west of the Rockies, and Matt in Salt Lake City. Hi.
Hi, Art. Long time no hear.
Well, hey. Good to hear you again.
I'm calling to see if you heard any more about Mills Hole.
No, I am contemplating the possibility of doing something additional with respect to Mel's Hole. So, you know, the old expression on radio, stay tuned, bud. I may do something new on it soon.
Thank you.
Okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. Yeah, I may do something soon. I don't know. There may be an update in the wings. There's a lot of controversy, of course, about the whole Mel's Hole story. I'd like to run that through. We'll see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is John from Springfield, Illinois.
Hi, John.
I was wanting to get a hold of you last week. I saw a story run about an oil spill on one of the 7,000 islands of the Philippines.
You're exactly right. There's a very, very serious oil spill here. And south of the capital city by a couple hundred miles, I think. And they're trying to get a handle on it now.
Well, more than a handle, I was going to ask you, do you see a lot of bald people walking around? Because what they're doing is they're shaving their heads and trying to use hair. They're putting in, it might sound like a joke, but I read it in the paper, they're putting hair in like 50-pound sacks and putting it out there to absorb the oil.
Well, they've got lots of raw material here in the Philippines. The gals here in the Philippines tend to grow their hair very long. So if that's really true...
It is really true. I have something about crop circles I wanted to ask you what you thought too, Art.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think is this theory? Crop circles are maybe pattern bursts of plasma bounced off the ionosphere, maybe from like HARP or something, and maybe some kind of a shielding.
Well, I've had two thoughts on that, and one is that crop circle. I can't get over the hair business. crop circles might be a testing mechanism for. U.S. or who knows whose satellites up there, or as we know, HARP can bounce very strong RF off the ionosphere, and maybe they're doing it.
Right
here, I mean,
with the hair though, they did say like 11,000 inmates at some prison, they all shaved their heads. So I was going to ask you, have you seen any bald women walking around?
No.
I'm just kidding, Art.
No.
Thank you.
All right, you're kidding, huh? Okay. Well, very good. I certainly appreciate the call. That's pretty strange. Yeah, the gals here in the Philippines tend all have. I shouldn't say all, but the majority of them have very long hair. It's the norm here. So there'd be a lot of raw material, but I can't see doing that unless it's some kind of protest or something. I don't know. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art. It's nice to talk to somebody in the very near future.
I am in the, well, not so very near. Really, it is Sunday afternoon here, sir, so that's a pretty good trip.
Yeah. Well, George had read a bit on the air last night about the BYU physics professor, and he was saying that they'd found traces of thermite on the World Trade Center materials.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I imagine they could find traces of a lot of things. If you examine a lot of things, you find traces of a lot of things. I've got a story here on chemtrails that's absolutely fascinating. They did, let me just give this to you, and maybe it'll give you an idea of what can be found. They examined some chemtrails that came from, I think, Iowa. Iowa. And here's what they found. Are you ready?
Yeah.
6 bacteria, including anthrax and pneumonia, 9 chemicals, including acetylene chloride,
26 heavy metals, including arsenic, gold, lead, mercury, silver, uranium, and zinc, 4 molds, 7 viruses, 2 cancers, 2 vaccines, 2 sedatives. Now, that's in a sample of chemtrails, sir.
Well, that's what I was going, you know, the direction I was heading with the his thermite findings. Mm. The 3 of the basic ingredients in thermite is iron, magnesium, and aluminum. And mm-hmm. if you look at the building itself, it was made out of steel girders. And byproduct of that is iron oxide or rust. Mm. Most of the airplane bodies are made out of aluminum.
That's
which
correct.
When it starts corroding, you get aluminum oxide. And there are quite a few mechanical pieces that are made out of magnesium.
Are you one of these 9/11 people who thinks that the U.S. government did it to itself?
No, sir. No. Mm-hmm. No.
I'm being currently bombarded by zillions of emails. Of course, as we approach the 5th anniversary, I'm getting millions of emails from people who think that we did do it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, there are scientists in the fairly mainstream scientific community who are beginning to join this group, 60 or 70 scientists. So it may be that we have to take a hard look at this, but I am not somebody who believes that we did it to ourselves.
Well, I don't believe that we did it to ourselves either, but, you know, because I was watching when they were falling, and I have a background as an blacksmith, and at the altitude that those planes hit, you've got a small hole going in, a big hole on the other side. When you get air moving, you know, that fast at that height, you're basically, you know, creating a super hot forge, you know,
mm-hmm.
a blacksmith forge, and the steel's going to get soft. It's going to start collapsing down on itself because of the weight. And what a lot of people are saying they saw as explosions down below the damaged areas,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that would be air pressure being, you know, blowing the windows outward.
It could very easily be. I'm not really sure what to do about all of this. I think that the noise level and the number of people who believe, you know, relatively credible scientific people who believe that this may be so has risen to the point where another examination of what happened with 9/11 may be in order. Now, that does not change what I believe. I don't for one second believe that we did this to ourselves. And for the record, I'm here in the Philippines not because I'm fleeing the United States because I believe something awful like that. I've had questions like that. Not at all. I'm here because there's someone I love here. So, on the other hand, if something like that turned out to be true, then that would be a good reason to be here, wouldn't it? It's not the reason. I don't think we did it to ourselves. I don't think that I could ever get over it if I believed that. I understand the emotion, the intense, what's the right word, the intense passion that the people who believe this is true apply to their belief. And I think that enough credible scientists have joined in with this group so that it does demand an examination. It does not change, as I mentioned, the way I feel. I don't for one second think we did it to ourselves. And if I did believe that, it would be a good reason to be here, wouldn't it? But it is not the case. Let's go to Indiana and say hello there. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Hey, Art, this is Doc.
Yes, Doc.
I'm a long-haul trucker on 65 heading into Indianapolis. I've got a question for you. I've had 3 different experiences over a 10-year period of seeing 3 different ghosts. 2 of the 3, in no uncertain terms, when they appeared and they actually knew that I could see them, they got this with bug-eyed with their mouth flying open as if I had scared them.
Mm-hmm.
Or as if they had committed some horrible, broken some rule. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then
I know
instantly
I know. Listen, I know exactly what you're saying, and the same thing applies to, and probably applies to both, ghosts, or whether you want to call them ghosts or you want to call them shadow people or whatever they are. In those instances where listeners have described roughly what this man just did, that there was sort of shock on both sides, there would appear to be, and this again has been the topic of the last couple of weeks, there appears to be a lowering or a lifting, if you will, of the veil between this dimension and some other dimension. And I use these terms loosely. I don't know that it's a dimensional anything that we're seeing shift and change, and we're beginning to get glimpses of things that we have never seen before, and I have no idea what these things are, but as this gentleman pointed out many times, when they see us, they appear to be as shocked as we are when we see them. On the international line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Art. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, it's Nina here in British Columbia, Canada.
Good to hear from you again.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for your time for answering my email.
And, sure.
And please say hi to Erin. Actually, I have a story to share about when I heard Erin saying about the Aswang.
Yes.
Yes. When I was in high school, I had a long hair, like up to my hips. It was like black, thick hair, and all my classmates were like saying, "How your hair is really nice." And one day, one of my classmates touched my hair, and she goes, "Do you know how to braid this?" I said, "No, it's my mama." And she said, "No, you're lying." And after that, she packed my hair. At the end of the day, my head was already swollen, and my eyes were slit. And for 3 days, I could not see. It was really, really swollen.
And you believe that was the touch of Aswang?
It's not. It's like witchcraft. It's like somebody wants to inflict pain on you, like they're jealous of your, you know, of your hair or anything.
Yes.
Erin knows this. So somebody advised me, because I was not able to attend school for 4 days. I could not see because it was really, really swollen, my whole head. So and I went to this old lady who practices, like, you know, herbal whatever, and she was able to remove the swelling, and then she told me that this girl had an intention to make my hair fall off, and she gave me this, the old lady gave me this pearl-like stone that's against the witchcraft, and I had to wear this all my life. Until now, I have it with me. It's like an antidote to people who practice witchcraft.
I understand completely, and perhaps that was the touch of Aswang. I don't know. In the talk that my wife and I had about Aswang, I think it lasted about 2 hours. And it got very serious, because I was kind of joking, and I'm saying, "Oh, come on. You know, we have ghost stories, too." And then she got very, very serious and kind of annoyed that I wasn't believing her. And so it became a serious conversation, and I looked very heavily into this Aswang business, and there is something to it. When I say that it is believed here, I don't mean it's lightly believed, or that it's joked about, or that I don't know how I can convey to you the seriousness with which this creature is viewed here. It's very, very serious indeed. In fact, if you look back into some of the World War II literature, you will see that some of the fighting that was done here in the Philippines, some victories were achieved simply because of that belief. You can read all about it. Well, let's see. Let's go to all the way to Wyoming, west of the Rockies. You're on the air.
Hey, Art. I wondered if you had forgotten about the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center by the FBI. It was reported in the New York Times that they gave Ahmad Salam real bomb-making material, and that he secretly recorded them ordering him to use the real bomb-making material. Or do you?
No,
I
was aware. Excuse me, sir. I was aware of the 93.
I wasn't excusing
bombing.
You. You interrupted me, so I was continuing.
No, I was not. I was not. I was just telling you. I was aware of the. Hello, sir. You'll have
your
chance.
You don't want to talk about the issues, but you want to talk about flying saucers. I understand.
he hung up. See, I was giving him a perfect opportunity to speak, but he just hung up. You all heard it. That's an attempt to make me look rude. Well, I didn't hang up, sir. You hung up. I was simply saying I was aware of the bombing. Now, the bombing by the FBI, I was simply going to make the distinction that, no, I certainly wasn't aware that the FBI did it. Well, sorry, bud, that one didn't work. A wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello. This is Deborah from Festus, Missouri.
Hi, Deborah.
I have a question that actually I have to my son and my maybe future daughter-in-law are in the other room on the computer, and I went in frantically saying, get on the line. I want to see a picture of that Oswald thing that you were talking about. So I've been running between the radio and that. Unfortunately, they don't share it a whole lot, but they did get it on. And the question is, you said that was a night creature that comes out?
That's correct, and I did mention that it's an obviously daytime shot.
Okay, I missed that. That was their question. They asked, if it's a night creature, why is the shot during the day? And so that seemed a little strange. And we were trying to figure out, we blew it up and everything else. It looks like it's kind of like a bat wings or something on it. It's really fascinating. But
it's awfully damn big, isn't it?
Yes. And we were, and they were looking at it, and so they were kind enough to let me get it on the thing to see what it looks like. That's really interesting. And
well, it's big, and if you can get that photograph off, and you can, the website, put it in a, you know, a good viewer and blow it up.
Well,
and
we did it becomes on the computer. We have a pretty good size screen, and we did blow it up, and it to where it was where you couldn't tell what it was distorted, and then we brought it back down a bit.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's pretty good size. But that was our question. Somehow I missed it between frantically running. I don't have a computer of my own, and they share occasionally, you know. And so I was missing parts probably, but I wanted to see what that looked like real quick. So,
well,
okay.
There you have it.
Okay,
all right, take care, and thank you very much for calling. That's the way these 9/11 people are conducting themselves. They will call you a traitor. They will call you all kinds of nasty things, and they will attempt to make you look rude, like you won't listen to them. In the case of that man who just called, it obviously did not work. And in fact, actually, it was kind of rude of him to just sort of wait a moment, decide to hang up, and then go clunk. Very rude, sir, very rude. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Da 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 da. Dee dee da da. Dee dee da. I got a song been on my mind. And the tune can be sung in the words.